Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. For 80 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. You're about to listen to another Bible-based lesson with Jody Apple on International Gospel Hour, starting now.
Thank you, Jay. Welcome to Are You Listening? We are in the 12th week of our series entitled One Gospel, A Study of Galatians. We hope that you have your Bible open to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, where we will begin our study in just a few moments. Today's broadcast, like all of those that you hear on International Gospel Hour, can be found online at our website of the same name, internationalgospelhour.com. To listen to this program again, to catch up on programs you missed, or to access our transcripts, go to the media/audio tab where you can freely download the files that you need. If you have questions about today's program, feel free to give us a call at 1-855-IGH-6988. You can also reach us using the contact form at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. Before we begin today's program, a word of explanation is in order. A few months ago, my father moved closer to our home in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were, of course, very pleased to have Dad living so close by. We visited him every day that we were in town, which was almost every day, and because of the nature of my work, I was able to spend many hours each day with my father while I was writing, working, and enjoying his company along the way. Earlier this year, my dad was hospitalized. He never fully recovered from that, and over the space of the next couple of months, his health slowly failed. A week ago Friday, March 25th, my father died. He lived on this earth for 95 years, 9 months, and 15 days, a long time from one perspective, but only a brief moment when compared to eternity. During this time, we have been, and we remain, very thankful for the support of many wonderful friends and family. My reason for noting this: because of Dad's health issues, my work in teaching, writing, and recording got behind a bit. During the last 3 months, I was forced to rerun a few broadcasts, which makes it appear like we have been forever stuck in Galatians chapter 3. While Galatians 3 is certainly a great chapter, we fully intend to get beyond that chapter and, over the course of the next several programs, move smoothly through the last half of the Galatian letter. To all of those who listen, please accept my apologies for the recent repetitions and some of our schedule interruptions. Lord willing, we will be able to return to a much more normal broadcast schedule soon. Thank you for your patience. Let's begin. Galatians 3:16 is a very pivotal passage, so let's look at it one more time. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. In this and other context, Paul clearly understood the difference between singular and plural, both generally and specifically with reference to the distinguishing number of seed. In Romans 9:7-8, we read, "Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called." That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. This passage, and others like it, make a distinction not just based on number, but based on the kind of seeds that refer to number. Abraham's physical descendants through Isaac and Jacob, that is Israel, were great in number. But Abraham's unique physical descendant, that is Jesus the Christ, was singular in number. There was no one else like the Christ. But because of the significance of Christ's role in fulfilling the Gentile inclusion part of the Abrahamic promise, the singular seed of Christ expanded, fulfilled, and finally realized the salvation of seed descending from Abraham, spiritually speaking. Remember what we learned from Galatians 3, verse 8. The Scripture, personified, foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. What happened? The Scripture preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." Abraham's seed, both plural and singular, can be understood as follows. God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled physically through the birth of Isaac and then Israel and the continuation of their children. God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled physically in a much narrower sense through the birth of the single seed, that would be the Christ. God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled spiritually through the birth of Christ, that single seed, because through Christ all nations would finally be saved. And God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled spiritually through the birth of Christ, the single seed, who, as the narrow spiritual focal point, was ultimately also the means by which the Abrahamic promise expanded to all nations. Imagine this, a single point representing Abraham. Two lines diverge from Abraham, forming an angle. Within the space of those two lines, or inside that angle, are all of Abraham's physical descendants, starting with Abraham, going through Isaac, and through Jacob, and going as far as the time of the Christ. All Abraham's seed, physically speaking, are within the confines of the two lines forming that ever-expanding angle. Now imagine again, a single point representing Abraham. This time, imagine one line, not two, continuing straight ahead through time. That line starts with Abraham and continues as above through Isaac and Jacob. But rather than expanding and widening as above, the line goes through a narrow single seed line, ultimately ending in the Christ. The large area included within the first two lines in the illustration constitutes all of Abraham's seed from the time of the promise until the time of the incarnation, life, and death of the Christ. It includes untold millions of Abraham's physical descendants. It does not, though, include all of the nations of the world. Imagine one more time, another single point. This time, Christ, the physical, spiritual fulfillment of Abraham's promise. This last time, imagine two lines diverging again, as in our first illustration. The first illustration included millions of physical descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob within the borders of those two lines. This time, in our last illustration, millions, if not billions, of spiritual descendants of Abraham through Christ are included within the borders of these two diverging lines. The application? The fulfillment of the physical promise made to Abraham was limited in time and in number. It was in effect for nearly 2,000 years, but it only applied to the Jewish nation. The fulfillment of the spiritual promise made to Abraham, though limited in time, was not limited in number. It has been in effect for nearly 2,000 years at this point. How much longer? We do not know that it will be in effect, but it has applied to all nations since the time of Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. The spiritual fulfillment of the promise made through Christ obviously dwarfs the physical fulfillment in its effect and in its purpose, namely salvation. The law of Moses, about to be discussed in the following verses, did not materially affect the spiritual promise that was made to Abraham, that was fulfilled through and in the Christ. The ultimate point of Paul's argument is this: circumcision, because it was understood and practiced as part of the law of Moses, did not materially affect the spiritual promise made to Abraham, fulfilled through and in the Christ. The Judaizing teachers were in error, therefore, to bind that requirement on Gentiles who wanted to follow the Christ. Additionally, consider this. The text of Galatians 3:16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds as of many," but "as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." In the first part of this verse, observe that promises were made. Promises in context here are plural. That would include the promise of land, the promise of seed, that is, children, offspring, and descendants, and finally, in the third place, it would include the promise of blessing. We see all of this and more in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and following. These promises, as we just addressed them, land, seed, and blessing, they are all physical. If promises are plural, not just plural physical promises, but plural with reference to the kinds of promise, not just in the number of promises, then the plurality of promises would include both physical and spiritual promises. Two promises, that's plural. Two kinds of promises, that's also plural. One promise centered on physical things, the land, the seed, and the blessings. But the other promise centered on spiritual things that would come through the physical fulfillment of Abraham's seed line or descendants in the Christ. Once that physical fulfillment was accomplished, then the greater spiritual blessings would be fulfilled. Note also that the second part of the verse says, "He does not say." Who does not say? Paul does not specifically identify a speaker in this passage, but the context of the promise passages, first in Genesis and then continuing throughout Scripture, leave no doubt about the identity of the speaker. God spoke to Abraham, God spoke to Isaac, and God promised, that is, God spoke to Jacob or Israel. He, in this passage, means God. It was God who does not say seeds, and it was God who said seed. Now that sounds confusing. Did God say anything about seed plural? Yes. Did God say something about seed singular? Yes again. Then why does the text say he, that is God, does not say? In our next lesson, we will note that Paul, through inspiration, uses this device to call attention to the ultimate fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise and not the secondary fulfillment. We hope that you can be with us for that study.
What happens when you call our toll-free number? First, let me tell you what doesn't happen. We do not ask you for money, nor do we share your name and information with anyone who does. In fact, we really don't even answer the phone. That's right. Our toll-free number goes directly to an automated voicemail service that works round the clock and allows you to call and make a request any time of the day or night. Want our free Bible study courses? Call 1-855-IGH-6988. Have a Bible question? Call 1-855-IGH-6988. Need to make a comment or suggest a Bible topic you'd like to know more about? That's right. Just call 1-855-IGH-6988. Keep up with our program, International Gospel Hour, by following us on Facebook. You'll find us at facebook.com/International Gospel Hour or by searching for International Gospel Hour within Facebook itself. What will you find when you get there? Good question. Program updates, links to audio and transcripts, special news about the program, and more. Join the 2,100-plus listeners who keep up with our program. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God. But second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in the series, by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.